This podcast is brought to you by sarahraven.com, which is home to everything you need for a truly beautiful and productive garden. You'll also find great and essential gardening kit and stylish, lovely things to have in your house to bring the outside indoors, all inspired by the garden and the house being tied together. There's also plenty of garden inspiration, how-to videos and specialist growing guides. So head over to sarahraven.com today to discover even more. Welcome to Grow, Cook, Eat, Arrange, the podcast of me, Sarah Raven, and various guests who I invite to talk about things that I think we're all passionate about. And today I've got Ollie Hudson, who is the group head kitchen gardener of the Pig Hotels. Now, I'm sure many of you will have been to one of them. There are six of them currently, about to be more, I think, but Ollie will tell us about that. And I had a daughter who was at Bristol University, and for her birthday treat, funnily enough, it was her birthday this last weekend, it popped up in iPhone memories. There we were, sitting in one of the lovely greenhouses that the Pig Hotels tend to have, having dinner. So it was quite good timing. But anyway, welcome, Ollie. It's lovely to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. Great to finally meet you.
Yeah, really nice. I suppose I'd like to start with what is the kind of background of the Pig, the chain of hotels. But, you know, where was your first one? Why did you do it? Who did it? You know, just give us a bit of background.
So we're a small collection of hotels based around the south of England. We cover most of the southern counties now. We originally started back in 2011 in Brockenhurst in the New Forest, which is really close to home for me. I'm a sort of New Forest boy originally. Currently live in Winchester, but not a million miles from the Forest. And from there we expanded. We opened the Pig near Bath and the Pig on the Beach. So obviously Bath and Studland in Dorset, on the Isle of Purbeck. We opened both of those in 2014. Then we opened the Pig at Coombe in 2016. That's down near Honiton in Devon. We've also got the Pig at Bridge Place near Canterbury, the Pig at Harlem Bay in Cornwall, just outside Padstow, and the Pig in the South Downs, just outside Arundel in your neck of the woods.
Ah, yes.
And then, as you alluded to, we're in quite an exciting phase of expansion at the moment. So we've got the Pig at the Pig and the Village Pub, which is in a little village called Barnes, just outside Cirencester, which is we're working on that at the moment. Hopefully that'll be opening later this year. Really exciting property that we're so lucky to have inherited a garden that was designed by Rosemary Vary.
Yes,
which is really great. You know, we haven't really worked on many sort of historical gardens before, and we're lucky enough within the team. We've even got her grandson working in the team a chap called Tony. Really, really sort of amazing things to have inherit with that property. And then we've got two more in the pipeline as well. We have what will be the Pig on the Farm, which is up in Warwickshire, and we have the Pig at Groombridge Place, which is just outside Tunbridge Wells in Kent. And again, that has a historic garden as well, which I'm sure we can't wait to get our teeth into.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. And who's we? So I believe that you're related, aren't you, to the founders?
That's right. So my old man, Robin, he's an experienced hotelier. He originally set up the Hotel de Van chain back in the 90s and, ran that through and sold it. And then this is his new venture. Well, his newer venture, 13 years old now. So he teamed up with Jim Ratcliffe and a chap called David Elton, who has a big interest in gardens himself. And they kind of came up with the brand of the Pig to sit alongside Limewood Hotel, which is another hotel within sort of Jim's portfolio.
Oh, okay.
My mum also, she does all the interior design for the hotels as well. So it's turned into quite a sort of family project for us, which is really lovely. There's a certain irony that as a rebellious teenager, I decided to go to agricultural college to get away from the family business of hospitality. And I suppose it's a little bit like the mafia. They kind of pull you back in. Here we are now.
Very good, very good. And so you started literally growing veg in the forest vegetable garden, and then you were good at it, so you're gradually now in charge of all the veg gardens throughout the whole chain.
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, I was always into sort of plants and growing, especially growing up in a New Forest. You know, you're in nature constantly. You know, my summer holidays of just cycling around the lanes with my neighbour or going and making dens in the woods. You know, I was always very sort of in touch with the sort of natural world around me. And I got the sort of the veg bug off my granddad, my father's dad, who he lived in the New Forest as well. He had a lovely, my grandmother was still around as well, but they had a lovely sort of little allotment garden within their garden. And I used to love helping him out on there. And it was just a great part of the experience. And then when the concept of the pig came along, obviously I started, as you say, as a sort of jobbing gardener, sort of labourer in the gardens, working underneath a fantastic kitchen gardener called Mike Klein, who he sort of originally sort of mentored me as in the early stages of the pig. And so I owe a lot to Mike. And I was offered the position to become the sort of head kitchen gardener for the first hotel, which was a real sort of honour. And after a couple of years of doing that, I was drafted into the pig near Bath, where we had a big sort of restoration job on the gardens to do up there. I mean,
yes.
Essentially, when we got there, it was a field of bindweed, essentially.
Wow.
So I spent, 3 months on my hands and knees just teasing it out. It's the only way to get rid of bindweed is blood, sweat and tears, unfortunately.
Well, it's spectacular. The war garden of the Bath one is absolutely spectacular. I remember going in March with my daughter Molly and walking in and seeing these sort of slightly funny, almost like bamboo canes, but purple and chunky, and trying to work out what they were. And then I suddenly realized they were something that a amazing Belgian vegetable seed merchant called Peter Bowens had taught me about, which were kaolettes, but they were or flower sprouts. But you were the first place that I'd ever seen them growing. So I'd heard about them, but I hadn't had ever seen them growing. And the brilliant thing about kaolettes, which I'm sure lots of you know, they're called, you can see them in supermarkets now as flower sprouts. But unlike Brussels sprouts, you break them off the stem, and not straight away, but within 3-4 weeks, they grow back. See, it's almost like a cut and come again Brussels sprout, which of course sprouts, you just pick the whole stem and they've had it. So it's like kale has been crossed with a sprout, really. And so you get these things called kaolettes. Anyway, back to the you and the veg
garden. One of my favourites, yeah.
So what are the sort of pillar stones of the pig hotel's kind of philosophy? What are the things that are really important to you?
So I suppose when we originally opened, our big driver was our 25-mile menu, where we wanted to source around 95% of our ingredients within 25 miles of each of our properties. So, I mean, food miles has always been incredibly important to us. I mean, we do manage our gardens organically, which is also very important. But, I mean, to me, food miles and seasonality is almost higher up that sort of pyramid of needs, really, for what I want out of my most of the veg production. So I think, reducing food miles, sustainability, respect for our environment. Yeah, that's really the sort of pillars that we're built around. We're currently going through the B Corp process as well to try and get sort of a B Corp certification. But no, it's just it's a passion for local and seasonal and organic produce, really.
And so within that, I mean, we're coming out in April, this episode, and I wondered, it's always known as the hungry gap, March and April. And so it's a tricky month for the vegetable garden and having bountiful harvest. But what are your favourite things for harvesting right now?
Oh, this time of year, I mean, really, if you manage your kales and your winter crops properly, you could still be pulling out kale from that was planted at the tail end of last year. Everyone sort of starts pulling out their kales when they start to bolt, especially the more sort of curly kales and traditional kales. But if you plant a bed of red Russian kale, for instance, or a hungry gap kale, I mean, that's just coming into its own sort of, March, April sort of time. It's absolutely amazing. It's unlike any of its cousins. But then again, some of the other kales around that time, it's just all about trying to find different parts of the plant to use. So as I say, it starts to bolt, and you know, the old boys down the allotment just chuck it on the compost. But I mean, a Cavolo Nero, if you take out that apical bud the moment it starts to bolt, and then harvest the side shoots as essentially a sprouting broccoli afterwards, it's phenomenal. It's far better than any sprouting broccoli I've ever had, especially if you've had a few sort of frosts on it to really sort of sweeten the stems up. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
That's probably my sort of go-to sort of March, April favourite little crops there. I just get so excited by the sowing and the planting at that time of year. You know, I've still got the small boy's brain, the fascination of the germination of seeds. It's just how it works it will always fascinate me. It's constantly motivating.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And so for our listeners, are there sort of two or three things that they may not have thought of sowing in April that you would passionately recommend that you would be lost without?
Oh, that's a great question. There's some really good things to grow, to sow in April. I think one of my favourite crops across the year is probably the winter squash plants. Again, it's something I'm particularly fascinated by. I appreciate that's what you'll be harvesting in kind of September sort of time, rather than this time of year. But you need to, you know, you need to plan for it and get your sowing done in April and possibly May to plant out your winter squashes. Particularly so there's three main species of winter squash. There's Cucurbita, Pepo, Maxima, and Machata. Particularly the Cucurbita maximas, like the Crown Princes, would be one of the most common ones of them. They're my absolute favourites, especially if you've cured them for a couple of months first, to really sort of increase the flavours and get the best out of them. What else would I be sowing this time of year? I'm a massive sugar snap and Monge 2 fan. So varieties such as Delicate as a sugar snap pea, or a Bijou, which is a giant Monge 2 variety. Which is, again, another real favourite of mine. So I'd be sowing them around about this time of year as well. What else do I sow around this time of year? And you mentioned the kaolets earlier. Amazingly, to be harvesting something again sort of over the winter, you really need to be planning in advance. And you get the best kaolet plants if you're sowing them probably in March, April, and then planting them out pretty much April, May, and then planting them out up until about June, I'd say, for the best of most established kaolet plants in the winter. But as you said earlier, they're a funky veg. They're really exciting.
They are really exciting. I absolutely adore them. So before we finish, I know you very modestly say you're not a chef, you're a home cook, but maybe for this time of year, a couple of favourite recipes?
Couple of favourite recipes. So like I said, those Cavolo Nero shoots I was discussing earlier, you know, having them as a sprouting broccoli, you know, works really well. I mean, I suppose this time of year, you probably, maybe a nice Sunday roast, you know, roast lamb with some mint from the garden. You could have a nice side of, the Cavolo shoots, if you want to call them that, cooked in sort of, butter and garlic is really delicious. I'm not a big potato grower, so I wouldn't grow my own potatoes there. I've sort of with the growing that we do, we grow quite a lot of Solanaceae as well, and other Solanaceae like tomatoes, and I consider them higher value crops. I'm nervous about jeopardizing them by accidentally introducing any sort of fungal issues to the tomatoes by growing potatoes as a lower value crop. So I don't grow many of them, but some lovely roast potatoes on that sort of roast is always good, or just a real fiery rocket salad. There's some really sort of fiery red dragon or wasabi rocket. You know, I like that sort of I like those sort of spicy strong flavors in there. Even just in a BLT with a bit of that in there to add some punch is fantastic.
Great. Oh well, it's lovely to chat, and I'm going to come and visit you soon in one of your many or all of your many vegetable gardens, and thanks, Ollie, very much.
Thanks so much, Sarah, for having me. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Grow Cookie to Range. And I hope it was interesting hearing from Ollie about his sort of family empire of hotels and vegetable growing. I found it really inspiring, and I loved them. The hotels, that is. And next week, I'm joined by lovely Arthur Parkinson, my sort of co-host, and we're going to talk about his passion and mine on companion planting and what we're doing, sowing and growing now to make our gardens healthy but also organic. See you then.
You can find more information, photos, and advice sheets on all the plants and recipes we talk about on this podcast by heading to the show notes or at sarahraven.com/podcast.